Hi there. Welcome to Intentional Living Center today. Glad to be with you and talking about parenting as we focus on what it means to be an intentional parent. We got some callers standing by and ready to go. So come on in and join us.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a conference speaker and coach and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open, so call now 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. And today we have an open phones parenting time as we get questions about parenting. If you have a comment or a question you'd like to try to get through today, you can call 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Maybe you're disappointed in how you've performed as a parent so far, maybe even as a grandparent, looking back with regret. Listen, every day we get an opportunity to do things right. Every day we get an opportunity to do things the way God intends. And I tell people from Intentional Living that you've got to get mad enough, M-A-D, mad enough, before you're going to see change in your life. And again, the MAD stands for the acrostic M-A-D, M standing for having a mindset on Christ. Boy, your thinking will control your emotions. Your thinking will control your actions. Your thinking will really control the level of your life. And either going up or down, it impacts every area of your life. Your thinking, something that you take control of, and the Bible speaks to the power of choosing to think on those things which are right and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report. And we're also commanded to take captive every thought. So as a parent, take control of your thoughts. You're not a bad parent. You're not a terrible parent. Maybe you can do better. But if you focus on all the discouragement, all the things that are going wrong, you're gonna lose the focus on the bigger picture. You're going to have good days and bad days in parenting. We all do. The letter A stands for an attitude, which is a little different. An attitude is a disposition. It's more out of our heart. It's the way we view life. It's the way we choose to interact with our world. We're either going to have an attitude of confidence in Christ, which we teach, or it's going to be an attitude of discouragement. I encourage you to have an attitude. You can do this as a parent. God has equipped you, and if you don't feel fully equipped, that's why we have resources here, and there's other resources available to help you as a parent. And then for the letter D, M-A-D, to get mad enough intentionally, the letter D stands for the decisions you need to make. If you want to be successful as a parent, make decisions today, and then develop the kind of godly parenting habits to support those decisions. We got some great callers, some parents who are struggling, and some questions coming my way here in just a minute. So stay tuned. Today, Intentional Living focuses on the parenting challenge.
And I'm just calling to let you know how we have been intentional with our own children, and our children started new schools this year, so we put little notes in their lunchbox and just to tell them that we're thinking of them and to have a good day and God bless.
So at the end of the day, when I close my eyes and I say my prayers with my kids, I'm also focusing more on what we're thankful for in each other. And ever since we've been focused on thankfulness, we've seen a lot more love in our family life.
The intentional thing that I've done is I've prayed to have a love for my stepdaughter as a mother would for their kid.
Thank you for sharing with us today. You can share your story at our Intentional Living Center when you call 888-888-1717. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and let's go to the phones. Pamela is on the line today from New Mexico. Pamela, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call. We've been talking a little bit about life and how we can get discouraged, disillusioned, and disappointed. And how do you relate to that?
Absolutely. I listen to the station every noon hour, and it's really been hitting everything that God has been leading. It's been leading to me, it seems like it's right at me. And when you say getting mad enough about something, it's been brought to light that I had been praying for months and months and months that I bring my finances to light, and enough is enough. And it seems like it just seemed like very overwhelming, and you just said it, it's life, and life gets to be a little bit overwhelming after a while.
Yeah, it is.
And it seems like I take care of all the finances. I take care of all the, I have a 21-year-old son. I have a 15-year-old kid, and my 21-year-old at home just very disrespectful. He just is at home. He doesn't want to get a job, and I've been trying to talk to him in a nice way, you know, trying not to get upset and telling him, you know what, look, you know, things got to change. We've got rules. We've got things going on, and at the same time, I'm dealing with not being intentional with my finances because I'm not being communicated with my husband, and I need his help, you know, and I'm trying to be superwoman, and I can't.
Emily, you sound like too nice of a person. You're probably a pleaser. You like everybody happy, and you take everything on, and you can't say no, and you always feel responsible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And my guess is the people around you are saying, well, we didn't ask you to feel responsible. It's just something that you do. It's the way you're wired.
Right.
And, you know, I think when it comes to some of the real practical things of this thing of getting what I call mad enough, and that's a positive thing, by the way. I don't mean mad like anger, but inside to say, hey, you know, this isn't what God has for me. Finance is not working in the home that's not really the direction it should be going, and my husband and I are not on the same page. You got to change your mind, and you got to say, hey, you know what? I don't have to tell myself every time that I got to be make everybody happy or please everybody or somewhere or other I'm responsible for everyone, but also tell yourself the truth that we got a problem and list them. And I think it's important to list out three or four of the top issues. Sit down. I would encourage you to sit down, change your attitude in terms of being positive with your husband and saying, honey, we got the financial issue. We got the issue with our 21-year-old, and we need to come to some decisions and set some decisions and agree on them and then take action. And whatever those decisions are, that's something between the two of you, but that you come to some agreement. I think this idea of always trying to be liked, trying to be nice, trying to be the one that's not going to rock the boat. The fact is, sometimes a boat's got to get rocked. We got to rock it so we get the issues on the table, face up, so we can talk about them. And I think in your case, Pamela, I think you begin by changing your mind from I've got to be the pleaser, making everybody happy, to changing your mind to say, I want to do what's going to honor Christ. I don't want my kids growing up and thinking they can get whatever they want and take advantage of people and do whatever. And my job, your job is to give them the best shot at becoming a responsible adult. And so you tell yourself the truth and then act on that truth with your husband. And there's where you make a decision and then you get intentional. That's what I'd recommend.
Yeah, and you know that happened over the weekend. You know, I have been praying about it, and you know God is so good that He brings things to light. You know, when He knows that you can't take them anymore. The thing that I'm dealing with now is how do I deal with my 21-year-old? You know, we both tell him, we sit down and we talk, and we say these are the rules, this is the way it's got to be, and he just thinks that it's just.
Well, sure.
I don't know what to do.
Well, he
thinks
he's gotten away with it when he was 17, 18, 19, 20, 21.
Right.
It's a pattern. Now, who pays for his car?
Actually, it's done. You know, he actually hasn't gone anywhere because we put about 6 months ago, you know, we really put a stop to that. You know, we sat down prior to this and said, look, this is the way it's going to be. You don't move that vehicle if you don't have a job. Because I'm not giving you money just to,
we
kind of had to put our foot down.
But has that happened?
And it has happened.
All
but
right.
Now he's at home just sleeping all day because he was in a depression because he was working and now he lost his job.
It's a vicious cycle.
And I've been trying to get him to go to work,
Well, Pamela, listen, let me jump in. We all hear the cycle, and it's a crazy cycle that goes on in a lot of families. You know, if that were my 21-year-old, and I don't know all the nuances of your family, but I would sit down with him and say, look, you're 21 years old. We're not always going to be here to care for you. And that's coming to an end pretty soon. We love you. And we want the best for you. What do you want for your life? We want to encourage you. If you need counseling, get them counseling. Take them in and say, hey, you know, get some counseling. But you can't just sit here and sleep all day. You're either working to get healthy, working to get a job. And you can get back into the car scene and say, all you got to do is become responsible, but you're not going to sit here and just, you know, let your life dissolve into a mush here in our house. That's just not going to happen. You know, you're capable and we love you and we want the best for you. In other words, I think I would try to develop a better relationship. I wouldn't raise my voice. I wouldn't yell. I'd be just very clear. Son, you got 1 month, 2 months to figure out what your plan is. You tell us what it is. We want to know what it is within the next 10 days and we want to see steps toward it. If not, you know, frankly, you just can't sit here and, you know, live off the fat of the land. It's just not the way it's going to work. We'll help you. We're for you. Got confidence that you can do it in Christ. But we can't allow you just to sit here. And I think it's a unity between mom and dad standing together to do what's best in terms of holding our children accountable. Not easy. It's difficult, guilt-ridden, all that stuff, but it certainly is being intentional. So you might want to find a counselor and help you put a plan together, and then as a couple, execute it together and be intentional together.
With it starting with my parents and Trina together, that's been, you know, we're now third generation, so that's been a unique experience to go from my parents being the older generation to now my sons are coming in, and how do we as parents let go to let them learn and be able to take this over someday?
That's Jill Bancroft. She and her husband will be participants at the upcoming Family Business Conference just 2 weeks away. We've been telling you this week that early registration cutoff is today. And the reason is we're trying to get a count for food and materials and all the things we have to have put together and to help save you a few dollars. We have some friends of the ministry helping underwrite a good portion of this expense for the whole conference. But we want you to come. And we got a great group already from around the country. Some of the best teachers that I know are going to be there. Just men and women who love God, who work with families and business, who are part of a family and business themselves, talking about succession planning, God's will for your will, how you can get maximum impact for your estate planning. We're going to talk about and teach on the area of communication in marriage and in the family, avoiding mistakes that family businesses make. We've got stories of those who are in family business. We're going to talk about raising capital, what's unique to a family business, the upcoming, of course, the healthcare law, and then identifying and leveraging the strengths of your employees. Some great teachers who are coming to participate. And again, early registration discount today. The cutoff is today. And so we want you to go ahead and get registered. It'll help us in our count and so on. So if you've been holding back, this is the day to do it. Just go to familybusinessconference.com. familybusinessconference.com. And by the way, that my heart is that this will be a great success for you and your family business. That's why I'll be kicking off the session, speaking myself on God's intention for you to thrive in your business, your family business. So register at familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com. All right, let's go back to calls. We got Sabrina on the line listening to Bot Radio in Missouri. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, Doctor. I am so excited to talk with you, and it's such an honor.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. My question basically is, how can I encourage my son, who is now 17, he's a junior, next year he's going to be a senior, so he has 1 year basically left of playtime until college, and right now, me and my husband, we're not on the same page as far as encouraging him to do more than video games at this time.
Well, how's he doing in school? I mean,
he's good. He has great grades. I mean, most of them are A's and B's, you know, occasional C, but, you know, so he's really good. You know, we've never really been helicopter. I guess if anybody, it would be me, and it's just more, you know, encouraging, but, you know, and being careful too. Let him be him, but more or less letting him know that I care, you know, about how he does.
Now, the issue, though, Sabrina, is if I hear this, I'm a little confused as I hear you talk, which makes me believe that you're a little confused, your husband and you are not on the same page.
Yes, we are not on the same page.
Yeah, and I think that's where it begins. What pages are you on? You want him to get more organized and crack down, and your husband says, you know, back off?
Yes, he's more or less, you know, let him be a teenager. He's got 1 year left, and they're both into these video games right now. I'm like, well, I think he should be, you know, what kind of activities? I'm thinking some after-school activities, because I know a lot of times in colleges you have to put down these extracurricular activities down that you know, you've been involved in rather than PlayStation 3,
Sabrina, listen, here's what I'd recommend. I think instead of talking to each other about your son, the two of you need to talk to your son about himself. And what I mean by that is if you and your husband are not in agreement, like, you know, let's get off his back and let him enjoy, you know, his life, and you're saying, hey, you know, let's use better use of time, clearly the two of you are in disagreement over how his time should be spent or the pressure you put on him. But I would hope and I would assume that both of you would agree that your son has got to figure out what he wants to do about his future. when he graduates from high school next year, where does he want to go? It would be beneficial for the two of you to sit down with your 17-year-old and say, okay, son, we love you. You got 12 more months. You graduate from high school. What are your plans? What is it that you want to do? What direction do you want to take? It's not going to be sitting home here playing video games, so this is a good time to talk about what is it you think God's leading you to do and go after you graduate, and what steps are going to be taken between now and then for you to get there. What is it you're going to do to get there? I think you need to focus on the things that both of you would agree on, which I would assume and hope it's that your son would have a successful future in his life.
Yeah, and I have had that exact conversation with him, you know, gently, like, thinking, you know, hey, you know, and he is looking at college, you know. He does want, he's majoring in music, because he's in marching band and he loves music. He plays the flute, so he's very good at that.
Now, how is he planning to make a living playing the flute? What's his plan? Yeah. What are his plans?
Well, he wants to major in music teacher.
Oh, okay.
You know, something in the music, in that art.
All right. Well, listen, Sabrina, listen, I'm not a music background.
Sure,
by the way, I am a musician. I do play, but we got one right over here. You know, Mr. Stephen himself is a musician, and I would imagine if I got him in here, he would say the same thing. If you're planning on going into music, you better do some research about the supply and demand. What's the reality of that? What kind of demand is there for music teachers? In other words, just because we have an interest in something doesn't mean the world has a demand for it. And I'm not suggesting that your son be discouraged, but you got to face reality. He enjoys playing the flute. He enjoys music. Fine. Well, what are your plans? I mean, how is that going to turn into what you want to do? Steven's shaking his head in there in agreement, because if you don't plan, you know, you got to do that. So, Sabrina, I think you and your husband – you know, put it this way, your son's going to do what your son's going to do, but I think you and your husband need to sit down with a 17-year-old and just say, hey, we love you, man. We want the very best for you. But the reality is you're graduating from high school, and if you're going to stay here, you're going to have a job. You're going to have to help out with the overhead. If you're going to go to college, you got to, you know, who's paying for this? Where's the money coming from? What are the plans? In other words, he needs to understand what his, you know, what his reality is going to be, what direction he wants to take. Because if he doesn't, I'll tell you what, you're going to be there in a year from now, and you'll be calling me back saying, now what do? We got this crisis on our hands.
I hear that. I hear you. You know, and I've been listening to you guys talk lately, you know, a lot about, you know, having that plan. And I've actually had a little conversation a little bit, you know, him on other things about having that plan. So I appreciate that you guys are, you talk a lot about that, and thank you for addressing that with me in this matter, because I didn't think about it that way with him in this. So that's great. That's great.
That's good, Sabrina. I'm glad that was a help. I'd even go a step further, though. It's not only helping him think about having a plan. You and your husband need to have a plan. What happens when your son graduates from high school? There are some parents who say when our kids graduate from high school, they're out. That's it. You know, there isn't any question. You're out. You either got a job or you're in school, but you're out of the home. Others say, no, we'll go through a transitional period. Every family is going to handle it differently. I'm not here to be a cookie-cutter approach other than to say, if you and your husband don't have an agreement of what's going to happen, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a mess. And you're going to be a lot better off if you sit down and come to some agreement together.
Don't you dare flush my cell phone down the toilet.
Why do children often do the opposite of what we ask? This month, when you become a member of the Intentional Living Center with your monthly gift of any amount, you'll receive Dr. Randy Carlson's DVD, What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave. Discover some important keys to parenting, including the three levels of misbehavior your child uses to get your attention. To learn more and to make your support gift this month, visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com from the Intentional Living Center.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and let's go to Art's on the line in Arkansas, listens to Bot Radio Network. Hey, Art, welcome to the program.
How are you today?
Good. It says here you're a new listener to Bot Radio, huh?
Yeah, I actually found it driving up to pick my son up in Missouri because he needed a ride home at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I just was going through this channel, so I listened to Christian music, the one that's here locally, and it was going out, so I started scanning through the stations, and I found Bach, and I pretty much left it there since then.
Well, there's a lot of great teaching during the day. I love their passion to, I think they say, to put God's word into the hearts of God's people, and I think that's so valuable. We love the Bach people. They're great. All right, well, what's your comment or question today, Art?
Well, my question was, I have two adult children. My daughter's 22. She still lives in Indiana. And my son's 26, and he moved down here last December. So it's been a year and 3 months he's been here, and he's living with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he is still wanting to drink and live the party life, and that's mm-hmm. what he grew up seeing in his father and in his mother. And since he'd moved down here, I mean, I've been saved now for about 6 years. And, I mean, I'm a regular church member. My wife, I married a Christian woman when I came back down here. We married, and we're involved in a church. But I'm trying to find the best way to, I know you can't force anything on him, but encourage him to not run the same path that I ran for so many years. I mean, he's been in trouble with the law, and he's still doing the same things. And I guess I'm lost for what I can do. I've canceled at church, and we've set boundaries. We when he first moved down here, we actually made a covenant, and he didn't go by the covenant, and I had to kick him out and put him in a hotel for a couple of weeks, and I told him to write me a letter on why he needs to move back in. And, I mean, it's just an ongoing thing.
Yeah. Well, Art, let me ask you. You live this kind of life. What had to wake you up?
You know, the bottom line was, you know, I went to AA for a while, and I don't agree with everything AA has to offer, but they have some good things to offer.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I did hear, and I do believe, is, you know, you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired.
There you go.
And that's what it came to. And this one day, because I grew up in the church, my parents took me to church when I was a child. But when I turned and got to high school, and I started hanging out with the wrong people and doing the wrong things, and that went on for 25, 30 years. And fortunately, I'm 53, so fortunately, it wasn't as bad as what I think it is today.
Was there a crisis for you, though, Art? Did you have a crisis? Did you bottom out? You said you were sick and tired. What was happening? Did you just have a bottom point?
I was just getting sick and tired of, you know, hanging out with this woman or this woman, and I lost a job, and I was going broke, and it just got to the point where the only answer I knew was to turn my life to God, and I started going to church.
There you go.
Pastor Williams up in Lafayette, Indiana, and I've been going to church since then.
All right. The reason I ask is because that's what I expected you to say. You had to get to a place where you were sick and tired of it. You realize the consequences were adding up, and they were multiplying. The upside was no longer there. And I think sometimes as parents, because we love our kids so much, we see them making mistakes and doing adult children doing things they shouldn't do. It's easy to jump in and try to reduce the pain level, but in the process, we don't allow them to ever bottom out. We never allow them to get to a place where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired and mad enough that they're willing to change their lives. And so I think you're right on target with your son to tell him your story, but to also say, hey, listen, that's not the way it's going to operate in this house. If you want to be here, this is the covenant that we've made, and if you violate it, you know, you're going to be out of here, and it's not going to be in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. We're not going to play that kind of game. And secondly, the question that you got to ask your son is, where is this leading you? At the end of the day, you want to end up like Dad almost ended up. It's a decision you have to make. But if you and your wife are on the same page, I think you've got to love your son. You got to pray for him. But part of love is also being tough and putting boundaries in place. And I think you got to stick with that because you love him.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's even what the pastors at the church said. And that is so hard to do, though, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying my darndest to to let go. You know, the old saying, let go and let God, and he knows what's going to be best. You know, Brandon may have to go to jail for a while, or
he may.
But I just hate to see something really drastically happen. Maybe I'm
looking at it in a wrong way.
You do,
and any loving parent, and that's an indication you really do love your son. Any loving parent doesn't want him to see bad things happen, but we can't be in charge of everything an adult son or daughter does. A great passage would be go to the Luke chapter 15, where you're going to get the story of the prodigal. Because here, when that prodigal who left home, the dad didn't hang on, the dad didn't follow him around, the dad didn't put a monitoring device on his ankle so he could keep track of him. But it says, the son says about the son that when he came to his senses, when he hit the bottom and he was in the pigsty, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" And it was only when he got to that place that he woke up. And I think if the father had hung on to his son and tried to hold him back and tried to rescue him and send him food baskets or do whatever, maybe that would have either been elongated and gone on for much longer, or he would never have learned and just live through it from day to day. I don't think many of us get to a place where we change until we have to change. And the have to change turns into a want to change, and that turns into an actual change. I think that's the process for you, Art, and we'll be praying for you.
Hello, I just called to let you know what we're doing to be a Christ-centered and intentional marriage and a Christ-centered home. I am reading through the Bible out loud to my kids. I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son, and we're reading through the chronological Bible this year, and we're right on track. They're having fun with it. We're all learning a lot, so that's what we're doing to keep things Christ-centered in our house. Thank you.
Good for you. That's leadership. Moms and dads, leadership is not optional, and in your home, you can be intentional by doing the next right one thing. And we're glad to be here to help you do it. And today, the Parenting Challenge focused on that. All of our programs available online, by the way, around the world. You can listen to it again by going to theintentionallife.com. Also, you can, while you're there, join in support. And a reminder, this month we have a very special gift that focuses. It's a DVD called Why Your Kids Misbehave. And it's our gift to you when you share the best gift you can with the ministry to help us continue to do intentional living every day. It's the teaching, What Motivates Children to Misbehave, including yours. Our gift to you, ask for it at theintentionallife.com. One reminder again before we close it up. This is the last day for early registration discount for the Family Business Conference in Phoenix. Register today at familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com. See you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.